like a problem, or we solve some problem, take a picture of it, load it up, boom, there it is. Then you can put an operator description on the bottom. So you can load photos up, okay? And then you can add less or more detail as you go along. The other thing you can do, this is a different plant, same kind of thing, graphically oriented, but these people wanted O&M manuals collected. So if you zoom in on their equipment, you click on that valve, and bam, the O&M manual for the valve shows up. See, what you gotta understand is, this O&M manual that is this thick is the broad overview of how it all works. Every piece of equipment, aside from that broad overview, has its own O&M manual. So in this whole plant, like if you go back to this picture here, you see two pumps, we got some valves, you got three pumps, and they got a little instrument over there. Every single one of those pieces of equipment will have its own O&M manual. It might be an inch thick or a half inch thick or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So now you recognize that not only does the web portal allow you to have an O&M manual, that maybe got some fancy graphics and stuff like that, but what it really starts to allow you to do is organize your information to where you can go to one location to could find your O&M manual. Because half the time, operators, they get an O&M manual during construction, they work on it, they use it a couple times, then it's on Joe's desk, then it's gone, and Joe leaves, and who knows where it is, and they have struggled to find this information. So now we have a method of not only interacting with the O&M manual, but the operators can add information infinitum. So they can add a PDF file, they can add a figure, they can link to O&M manuals, and you can click on that specific piece of equipment, and it's like, darn, this thing is just not operating properly, what can I do? Boom, that O&M manual will have a specific troubleshooting guide exactly for that piece of equipment that's in there. And as things change over time, all you gotta do is change out the O&M manual behind you. Okay. So these are the features of what we're calling an interactive O&M manual, and that was an option that was added and discussed. Now, there's been a pricing discussion where they brought some pricing down, we traded out some things, and we tried to get it in the budget, but we'll hold off on that. Two other options that were discussed in the proposal was what's called local or remote hosting of the site. So this is a web page. That's all, it's a web page. It's a web page that's been designed specifically for O&M manuals, but it's standard web page software. It's nothing, you know, earth-shattering, but it's been pre-worked out to specifically support O&M manuals, right? And so the question is, where do you host it? So like the town of Scary Bay, you have a third party that hosts your website. Someone builds it, you have a contract with them, and they host your website. It's on wherever it is, okay? However, the treatment plant also owns a lot of sophisticated equipment for their SCADA system. They own SCADA servers, for instance, and those SCADA servers could act as a host for this as well. You could become your own web host, if you would. And then, in that instance, how does it work? Well, Stantec normally hosts this manual on their servers in their office, okay? And they do that because it's easy for them to add information to it, because, you know, they just add it on, it's all right there, it's ready to go. It reduces costs for them to program it and develop it. Information still goes online. It's just like, you know, you can still upload, you can still do that. It's just physically all the data bits are in their office, you know, kind of thing. And they don't charge for that service. However, you could also host it in the town's equipment, you know, and in which case the difficulty is, well, they have to get familiar with exactly how the equipment works. The town has to essentially host a web page. They've got to have an open link to the internet. And there's some logistical things that come with that. So there's essentially a price adder, if you would, to host it on the town server, because there's some logistic things that have to occur to run it that way. But it's essentially, you know, it's like any other web page that the town might have. You want a third party to host it, you want to host it. That's all it comes down to. And then the fourth item was the SCADA system program link. So the SCADA system is also a web-based SCADA system. It runs the whole plant, but the operators can pull the SCADA system up on their phone. So they can literally, like, actually, I'm out there, and Devin's on top of the filter, and he's like, oh, what's the filter doing? And he's literally pumping a button on the phone, controlling the whole plant. You can control the whole plant from your cell phone, I mean, from your phone. So it's a web-based system. So the question was, rather than, okay, I'm an operator in the field, and I got my tablet, or I got my phone, and I'm doing something, and I want to jump to the O&M manual. I'm confused, I want to see a discussion on the process, because the O&M manual discusses process, too. It doesn't just talk about equipment maintenance, it's how does it operate, So if you had an operations question, you can go to the online manual. Well, you might have an operations question when you're looking at your SCADA screen and you see a problem right in front of you on your screen. Like, this is not good. I want some help on this. So the question is, just like a web browser, do you shrink this and go open a web browser and then go log on and then go do this? Or can you create some buttons right on SCADA that you just hit a button and you just jump straight to the manual, you know, kind of thing? Because otherwise, just like anything else, if you're in Word and you're working on a Word document, you want to go on the internet, you shrink it, right? And you open up your Explorer and then you type your password and go where you want to go and off you go. It saves some steps. And then in some devices, it's not so easy. If they're on tablets or on a phone, not quite so easy to shrink all that and then try and get on the new web and stuff like that. If it was integrated with the SCADA system, they could bump, hit a button, and off you go. So that was the fourth option, is to essentially program some links in SCADA to allow the operator directly from a SCADA screen to jump to the OEM manual and save a few process steps, you know, kind of thing. So that's what's going on there. So what my goal here today was to educate you on why we needed a manual and what these different options were. And they are all options. We need a basic manual. We need it for a while, but we certainly need it now that we've added the filters and all the other stuff we've added to the plant. We can make it interactive, like we talked about here, which is clearly the way of the future. In terms of, it's easy to manipulate and it's easy for the operators to interact with it. This is an expensive item, but I see a lot of manuals just sit on a shelf. You pay a lot of money for them, they sit on a shelf because they're just too cumbersome and too intimidating for an operator to go pick up that 6-inch thick manual, huck it around and look about this. They'd rather talk to each other or, you know, do some of the mechanism of trying to figure out what the problem is, you know, kind of thing. So we want them to use it. Whatever we decide to pay for, we want them to know that the operators are going to use it. Because then you're getting your value out of it. Then you're getting the value out of the money spent. But then we can make it interactive. We can decide where we want to host it. And, you know, we can decide how interactive with their existing SCADA system we want to make it. You know, so those are really your choices on that. So that I'll answer whatever questions I can. If you'd like SCADA to come back, I can have them at the next meeting. That's not a big deal. I can have them at the next wastewater committee meeting. I can have them tomorrow. You're going to meet tomorrow, right? I can have them at that meeting tomorrow if you want to ask them questions.
Yeah, I would prefer to ask them in this venue so that all the board members have a chance to
Before we move forward with the director's corrections, I just invite the public. Are there any comments or questions with regards to that report from the public? Okay, hearing none. Staff, go ahead, Director, please.
All right. Somehow I missed it in our water wastewater meeting that if you have the interactive manual, I assumed you didn't need the hard copy manual. So why do you need the hard copy if we have an interactive one?
It's a good answer. Usually the regulators want to show up and look like a touch feeling one. Now we can have an interactive. But the real thing is we have to develop the base information, which is the same thing that we go to. So, you know, we still have to develop the basic text, the basic figure. That picture has to be drawn. And then this text has to be created. So when you see this, this text has to be written. So it turns out that you're basically creating a hand manual anyway, but they set it up properly for the links that they know ahead of time it's going into the links. But technically you don't have to have a hand manual, but you still gotta do all the work to create that hand manual. You still gotta draw the pictures, you still gotta write the text about how the process is done, you know, and that kind of information for the operator. Because each one of those tabs, process information, control, startup and shutdown, maintenance, all that still has to be written up. Once you've written it up, you can also print it out, or you can just, you know, they don't have to print it out, they can just leave it on the web.
But it's the same content.
It's the same content. The only difference is it's positioned differently here than a table contents, right? That, I mean, that's the difference, you know, but it's the same information.
So the one hazard if you don't get the paper copy is if we lose an internet connection, we lose.
You don't have it. That's right.
But you mentioned the local hosting versus Sanitech hosting, and information that if I heard you properly, Sanitech will host it at no charge.
Yes.
Okay, how, for how long?
Forever. Their clients are, you know, I mean.
You should do these things before you do the claims.
So the, you know, I mean, the advantage of hosting it here would be primarily you are 100% in control of the information, right? So, like, if you have a third party that hosts your web page, let's say you get in a billing dispute with your third party, then you just turn your web page off, right? You don't really have a lot of power in the situation until you work it out. You have a contract with them, you can work out a contract, you know. I mean, Stantec's done work for the town for 15 years. You know, it's not like they've gone around. They were Ecologic kind of, but they got bought out, so they were Ecologic, let's say. They got bought out by Stantec 5 years ago. You know, things could change, and you could say, well, you know, I'd like to have, you know, control of that information. I'd like to know that it's here. You know, Merced, which is this manual here, Merced is much bigger than the town of Discovery Bay. I mean, they're a 12 MGD plant. We're two, or flowing 1.3, but permitted for two. You know, they're comfortable having Stantec hosted. The real thing is, it's free until it's not. And at that point, if you decide that someday they're going to charge for it, which I don't think it'll be anytime soon, but if they did, let's say they had a management change and the philosophy changed over at Stantec and they want to do something different, you can move it. I mean, it's just data. It's just a web page. It's like a web page, like anything else. You can move from, you can move web page from, you know, CNET if they host it to Yahoo or they, or GoDaddy or whoever hosts it. You, it's just data. You just move it from here to here. The real thing is your servers aren't quite set up at the moment to act as a web page. I mean, you got to have an internet connection. The internet's got to work a certain way. You know, it's acting like a web page server.
It's a better name.
Yeah. You know, that has to be set up. My personal feeling, you can move it at any time. I mean, 2 years from now, you want to move it to the treatment plant, move it then. You know, I would, if budget's the concern,
no.
I would be more concerned about getting a good product and getting going than having maybe every feature. You know what I mean?
There's also the issue of we're not sure if we have. We probably, if we have the space, first of all, the compatible hardware and the compatible software.
Yeah, we got
to
do a
those are
check.
Things that we could evolve to, but okay. I don't know if right now we would be able to get Big Dog involved enough to be able to know if we had those accessibility and whether it was compatible with right. the programs that they're bringing forward.
And the thing is, it isn't just an internet connection. You need a fast internet connection, right? Because you want your tablet to pull this information. There's a lot of graphic information. There's a lot of PDF files. There's photos. You know, and it was rocking on my tablet here. This is Merced's own manual. I could pull it right up, and I was demonstrating in the wastewater committee meeting, you know, right there in front of you. But Stantec's got the server and the throughput and the capacity to push that out so that it comes in quickly. But if you don't have the hardware, I mean, if it comes too slow, no one's going to use it, right? It's got to be fast enough that operators aren't. They got to wait 5 minutes for a piece of information, and they're not going to turn the thing off. It's not going to work.
Director Steele, I think you had
this question about the redundancy and the security of it, of this information and what we created. You know, there's some benefits possibly to hosting. I don't know if it's hosted by Amazon and Alibaba. I don't know who Stantec uses, but I would imagine they don't have the servers.
No, the servers are in their office.
Really?
So they have their own IT department. Stantec has their own IT department, and their server is literally there. Just like
so just one location. It's not multi-location.
Correct. Now, you know, we could certainly discuss things like backups and cloud backups and our data backups. I mean, you know, there's certain, and remember, the more data we hand over to them, the more it's got back. But clearly, no matter what, regardless of where it's hosted, the actual data we backed up, and we'd have copies here as well, because you know I would operate under the assumption that hey, if Stantec went away someday, they get bought and sold, go bankrupt. I mean, you know, things happen to companies.
It's purely a manual, though. There's no operating the plans for this manual.
Yeah, this is not the SCADA system.
Perfect.
This is process information to assist the operator. So you know, an operator has a question about his process. Oh, there's my pumps. You know, here's my flows. Here's how the flow goes. Here's the text about what I should do if there's a problem. That's what's in this manual, you know. And then, of course, you can link. The last step is specific vendor information, you know. But like, here's an example. The purpose of an O&M manual is this thing on the filter. The filter O&M manual, just for the filter, is that thing. You know, you can't. I mean, at some point, you got to recognize they got a whole shelf of these manuals, and an operator's got to like, okay, you know, where's that manual? Now, we're starting to get things electronic, but they don't necessarily organize well. You know, they're on Mayo's computer, and Mayo's got a copy of them. Okay, where's Mayo? Where do you put it on his computer? And that kind of thing. You know, it's about creating a portal to information, which is, you know, where do I go? Now, once operators know, I always go here, then you can just add stuff. It's easy to add stuff.
Doesn't the town have a, we were talking about doing electronic document control in the past. I don't know the status of that. Do we have an electronic document control system right now?
We have Razorfish, and really that's just holding our contracts or invoices and things like that. We don't have a really robust document system like that.
So this wouldn't store it?
No.
I
don't think this.
It's not searchable.
On that subject, there's a lot of documents floating around the town. I know there's a lot of construction documents on my computer. We back up and on our servers and stuff,
but it's not one spot we can find it.
Exactly. And that's we're trying to move away from that, right? So we're trying to get to a mechanism. So I think it's important that you have a backbone, at least you know you have a place to go with it. You know, it's like we added information. So one of the things is this is all about the treatment plant. But you're gonna have the lift stations on here too, because each lift station has their own manual. So we get the lift stations on here, we get the manual. Now the question is, well shoot. I could put the water system on here too. This is wastewater that we're talking about, by the way. This is just wastewater, all right? But you have a whole water system. It's got a hand-text old manual that Rudolph and Scalmini wrote a while back that you can move to here. You know, that you could move to here once you have a backbone that's in there. It's just adding links and pages and text and, you know, and that kind of stuff.
And I have a question. You mentioned SCADA. Uh-huh. And we discussed it in the meeting. I know you can't answer the question about how long does it take for their guys to set up one screen, and we're talking about 15 screens, et cetera. But the question I have is, would Discovery Bay be the first plant to have a SCADA on their interactive system?
Yeah, so to clarify, the answer is they would be the first one. It's something that Bernie brought up. So we were doing the interview with Bernie to discuss what options and features might be desired. And Violi and Bernie brought up, hey, it would be nice to access it from the SCADA screen. So not going from the manual to SCADA, but from I'm on SCADA, I see an alarm, or I see a process, I see an information. Can I have a quick method of jumping to the OEM manual versus, you know, shrink SCADA, go to the web browser, open up the building, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so that feature was to essentially create some shortcut buttons in Ignition, which is the SCADA programming software, to jump you to the web and log you in automatically, or keep it live, and then you can jump back and forth more easily. You know, so it's a time saver step, and it's about creating some buttons. So it wasn't in terms of a lot of screens. We have a lot of SCADA screens, but it's the same button on every screen, you know, that would jump you to the OEM manual is all. So it wasn't earth-shattering, other than it had not been done before. So they checked with their IT people, and their IT people said, yeah, we should be able to do it, but we've never done it. And it's one of the reasons the cost is that bad. And now I don't really know what they're
right, that's do. That's exactly why I wanted it here.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we need, I think it's a great option.
Yes.
I think it's needed. But I don't think Discovery Bay should pay for the initial ramification, putting this all together, and they go to another place and it's only, you know, we got this thing down, man, it only costs $1,000 to make this thing down.
Yeah.
So we've taken a hit on that.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be discussion about that also.
The other thing I was thinking is, I would personally not pick that option up right now, because I think part of the pricing issue is people don't know what we have yet. You know, they haven't started working on it yet. I think it would be easier to let them get involved with how our system is working and stuff like that, and truly see what the effort is before we're asking for a price for that. Or, as you said, maybe ask them about business development, and, you know, that type of.
Well, that's what we brought up. I think there was a discussion part of bringing this number down, even though we're at $180,000, which I think is a lot of money, but working with them as a partner.
Yeah.
And for us to be able, we discussed this, to have some of their potential clients come visit us after we're up and running and act somewhat as a salesperson, and for that being remunerated, instead of we can't get commission, and that's why he needs to be here. But certainly we should get consideration for some of these things.
Yeah.
For that, and also for being the guinea pig to put this up. So The other question I have is under optional tasks, and I think you've answered it now. If you hosted, if we hosted the program, it says to get a future software updates for locally hosted IOM parameters would cost extra. What about if they host it and they come up with a fix, an update, or whatever?
Yeah, that's free. So, you know, so this.
No charge for that, yeah, if so, they're hosted.
Yeah, because it's web hosting software. That's what it is. So there's an update comes out.
So they're hosting for all of their clients.
So there's,
not one off for us.
Yeah. So they get the update, and once they update, it's done. It's done, right? And it just did 10 clients at once, they updated, right?
If
they have to come here in a car and go on your server and then do that update and make sure everything's all worked out right. Imagine if they had to do that for every client, that takes time and effort, you know, kind of thing. Whereas your IT guy on the side, oh yeah, we got the update for here. It's right here in my office. I walk out of my office and, you know, install it. It all worked fine. I checked it out. Everything's good. You know, you can see that it's just a different labor effort towards it.
You may get my last.
Go ahead.
There's nothing in this proposal right now that talks about training and online support or phone support or all that. Say, say we move forward with this.
Right.
I don't know where the board's going, but we're up and running and we make some phone calls. How long can we make phone calls?
So normally what they do, and I talked to them about that extensively. So what they did for Merced, so this is Merced's plant here, and what they did for, I think it was, what's this one? I think this is, let's say South
Feather Roof Water.
Yeah. So what they normally do is they say, hey, when you first get it, sometimes you got questions, sometimes you just want us to have, even though you can, as an operator, just load stuff, load a photo of stuff, sometimes you want us to, you want to just send it to you, you email it to me and have me load it up. You know, sometimes operators take a while to get into it. So what they normally do is have a simple T&M contract that no billing unless someone calls for something. And what they found with Merced in the first year, you know, 5 or 6 phone calls throughout the year where some operator wanted some little assistance on here, but after about a year, everybody understands how it all works, and, you know, they haven't been called since, you know, long thing. But they have, basically, they had sort of an open contract to do that.
That's another question I wanted to talk to you. You can't make that decision.
That's correct.
And that's why.
So you're saying it's an hourly rate?
Yeah, exactly. Now, what they found is no one's really used it much. You know, they've set it up. Now, they've used it a couple times, but, you know, a couple $100, whatever, you know, for a year.
Yeah, see, that's one of the items I would like to discuss with him about being included.
Yeah.
For more than a year.
Yeah.
Knowing that those phone calls and those services on the his side are going to diminish, and that part of the partnership situation, do something a little different for us to give us the feeling that they're taking care of us.
Yeah.
We're going out. We're gonna help them provide access to future clients and tell them how great they are, but we need a little something back, and you can't make that happen.
Right.
Other questions from the board or clarifications? Anything? There is a staff recommendation.
Well, let me just finish the discussion point before we get there. It's hard for me to say what I want to say because the guy's not here. But I would like to structure this a little differently. Now knowing what you're told me about hosting, I'm in agreement. I don't think we need to host it. We can save $8,000. Let them host it. Be done with it.
Wait a minute. There's a fee. It's not, hosting isn't free.
No, yes, hosting is free.
Yes, it is.
Hosting's why free. Is it on option of $8,000 right here?
That's local.
That's to set it up on our server.
That's for here. That's local.
For them to come to our plan.
My bad.
You know, and no,
I totally did.
I didn't understand.
I misunderstood. That changed from when we had our discussion.
It changed right here this tonight.
Well, no.
And I didn't hear it.
It changed between our meeting and here.
Yeah, I thought, you know, one thing is, if I was in the meeting.
If they're going to host it for free.
There was a lot of things. I thought there was a little confusion exactly what they were going for, which is why I thought this was more technically to just kind of explain what the proposal was today. But that was one of the confusions.
Let me say one other thing. So I don't have any problem with that. Knowing that it's no charge forever. That probably needs to be written in as proposal, so I don't think we can agree with a proposal. I think we can agree to something. But they need to talk about that amongst themselves and bring us back an actual proposal that talks about the hosting at no charge forever. I'd like to see that in there.
I doubt you're getting forever. You're going to get hosting at no charge until the company's bought or sold.
Whatever that is, whatever it needs to be, but that needs to be in writing. So this board or future board or all of that. The other part you mentioned about the SCADA program, I think it's extremely important. I think it would help us tremendously operate the plant. But as I mentioned before, I don't want to be the first guy in and have our board be the first guy in and pay five times what it should cost. So I would take your recommendation to hold off on doing that, but knowing, have that discussion with Sanitec and say, hey, down the road, we want to do this, and we're going to have to negotiate the price, and we're going to have to talk about how helpful we have been with them.
Right.
And maybe there's some concession there, so they have to be aware of that.
Yeah, so I would, that, you know, even if you guys say, oh, we want to do it, I would say, okay, maybe approve it, but I need some time to dwell into that aspect.
I don't want to approve the SCADA program at this particular time because the cost is too high.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of doing it.
Yeah.
And I think your advice is right. Let them get into us a little bit, let us get rolling, and then add it as an option. Bernie, what do you think about that?
I agree with Wally. I mean, I think once we get the initial web base set up, then we can build off of that. I think we get to that point. And we have our own IC guy now, so you can do a lot of that work after that, because he's very good at programming and building pages and websites and stuff. So we have inside technology, technical services to help us in-house anyway. So I think we just get the basic O&M, get a web-based setup, then we can build off of that.
You don't even know what your IT department may be able to do to facilitate that.
I've always suspected that they could do it, which is why I was like, okay, well, this is nice. But you got to remember, all we're doing is programming a button that opens a browser, that goes to a web page, that logs you in. Right? And that's what the button does. So it's not like it's rocket science programming here. But that's why I would say give us a chance to get in there and see how difficult it will be or not, you know, and then make a decision at that time. On both those items, I would take three or four and, you know, put them on hold and let's get in and get a manual going where the bulk of the work is, and then we'll know more as we get
there. My last point, I'll let the rest of the board talk about this.
Is this really the last point?
Yeah, it's final. Is the training and the hosting and all that. I think you should have a discussion with them and see if they can't put together some sort of package that allows us, at least this board, staff may become more familiar and easier along the time. But I would think that this $180,000 and then the nickel and dimes that we've got to start calling for, you know, $50 here, $100 there, $200 there, I'm not happy with that.
So okay.
It needs to be something in the proposal, in this contract, mm-hmm. that guarantees us X amount of months of technical support.
Okay.
Director Lee.
Yeah, I would just support what was just said. I think, you know, we're not to the SCADA point yet, but, you know, we can take a look at that once everything else is done. We need a basic O&M manual. It needs to be online because that's the way things are done now. No, you know, books are history. What I would like to have considered when you bring this back to the board is that if at some point the hosting issue becomes an issue, mm-hmm. that we have the opportunity that they would give us that data.
Time out.
Listen to me very carefully. Sanitec says, we're no longer in that business anymore.
Yeah.
We're gone. We're going to charge you $10,000 a month for it now. Mm-hmm. No, Sanitec. Now you give it to us and we'll open the host.
Yeah.
And we have the option to do that versus a pay system.
Yeah.
Other than that, I just agree with the other things. I think that this is not an urgent item. I hope we can push it off. Maybe let the committee work through some of these details, but bring it back to the board with a full proposal for the O&M manual and the ILMs.
Okay, I don't have, if that would be the board's desire, then we can put off doing that. I would like to, just because, you know, all of our meetings are public and within the committee meeting, and it's all available and recorded, that $180,000 was the original bid that we got just for the written copy. And based on negotiations that Bill's very diligent about, we were in our committee meeting, we were basically able to get the Stantec did come down on the price, is what I'm trying to say. And they're trying to work with us.
Yeah.
And I think that they should, to the tune of about $40,000. So I think that we should consider tightening up the contract. And if... So at this point, I guess there's no motion made for taking an action. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I
have an alternative.
I agree, there's a concern with this hosting.
You want to do something, I have an alternative.
Nothing is forever. What I'd like to see in the contract is a time frame, a 2-year notice before they stop it. And that would give us ample time to figure out what we want to do. I think that might help. The IOM, I think you said even drop the 3-man IOM.
I'm sorry.
At this point.
That's a local hosting.
The local hosting is just a manual. Option 2 was make it interactive online.
Yeah. Okay.
Option 3 was hosted locally.
I think we agree that we're really only considering the basic plan at this point, correct?
1-2. Clarify 1-2.
I agree.
And 2, sorry, yes. And council?
Yeah, I was just, maybe we've got too many items now as we got a couple more. Maybe we've got too many items, but you could entertain a motion that approved the contract subject to these four things coming back from Stantec and give your general manager discretion to continue or make sure that those things occur. But I think we've got now maybe too many items. Maybe you should take it back to the committee. But just a suggestion through the chair.
Okay. I think that everybody would be much more comfortable at this point if we just bring it back to the entire board with a little more solid. We have some concerns here, and you're aware of them, and I think we just want it a little tightened up a little bit with regards to what's being offered to us, so we're all comfortable with it.
I think we've got a good faith negotiation with Stantec. We're going to make this happen.
We're not shopping.
Listen, everything you discussed here, we'll get into a contract.
Okay.
We'll revise the contract. Do you want to see Stantec again? Or if they revise the contract and they put all the stuff in, is that okay? Or do you want to see Stantec too?
Well, I'd like to see their smile.
That's fine. And like I said, I did not invite them. They were talking about what's going on and this and that. I said, I think they just want some technical information.
I want them on to verbally say they agree to the thing. They're making some minor something that needs to be taken care of right at this meeting, and there's a principal, and he can agree to it. We're on record, and then we've solved it.
Right. So I'm just going to repeat back to you the items. So the first thing is you'd like the option to locally get the data and bring it back at any time. So they go out of business, we want the data back. So the data is our data, we want the data back, right? So we own the data, and we want to give it back at any time. So that's pretty clear. You want to know a specific statement from Stantec about how long they'll post it, no cost. So we're going to at least go at least 5 years or whatever at no cost, right? So we want a statement on how long they'll go at no cost.
Or it could be indefinite.
Or they can put it on indefinite. But
with a 2-year or 1-year
cancellation.
They could do stuff like indefinite with a 1-year cancellation. So, exactly. But at any rate, they'll come back with a time frame, right? Then we wanted to know how many years of pre-tax support you need. That's what you wanted to know. Right.
How many years?
So you want to know?
I would think months might be a little more.
Let me give you something that I think I would be happy with.
Right.
18 months.
All right, 18 months.
I think our staff would be up to speed by then. Right. Bugs would be worked out by that thing.
Okay. And then you wanted a 2-year cancellation on if you're going to stop this. Right.
There has to be, and that coincides with what.
Right. And then we're going to hold on option 3 and 4 until we know more. And we probably wouldn't do 3 until some point they say we're
going to. Those are subsequent negotiations.
We'll
get this worked out in the contract. I'll send a copy of it ahead of time to Mike, and once this is next draft, and we'll put it on the next board meeting for Stantec. We do need to get going on a manual, but we can come back to the next board meeting.
Johnson, did you have something more?
Yeah, I had two items, if you're done with your list. Yeah. I had two items that I was taking notes as you were going through. Member P suggested that in terms of SCADA and the programming, we'd not do it now, but if I don't want to pass an opportunity, as he suggested, which is if they're giving it to us for free because we're the guinea pig, or they want to use us as a model or a reference or commercial, the board's not going to object.
Yeah,
I mean, from a negotiating standpoint, I'm not going to. I wouldn't want the board to object to a free service if we're the guinea pig. The second one was the 18 months he suggested was not only for technical support, but he did request some training. So training needs to be included in there. What kind of training are we getting? Those are the only two items I got, Mr. President. Thank you.
Okay,
we good, guys?
Yes.
Beat that horse? Okay.
All right.
Beat and kick and rolled that horse over.
Thank you, Greg. Did you have something more? Director Pease?
No, I didn't. If we don't need a motion on that,
we're going to bring this back to, at the next meeting, but I really hope to move forward with it at that point because we do need to get started on it. We already all know some of the things that can occur when we don't have a good O&M manual. We've had some issues in the past, so unfortunately, it's behind and we need to get it going. So thank you for that. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for everybody's input. Item number three, discussion of possible action regarding special district representation at LAFCO.
The special district seat and alternate special district seat on the LAFCO board term out this May. When the election takes place, each special district gets one vote to be cast by the presiding officer or his or her alternate. Staff will submit the name of President Graves to LAFCO as the presiding officer and will submit the name of an alternate as determined tonight. Additionally, this board may nominate one member of the board or one member of another special district board to run for the special district LAFCO seats. If such a nomination is made, staff needs approval to prepare a board resolution to that effect for submittal to LAFCO. Concludes my report.
I would propose that the Vice President be the alternate, just by station, if that's okay with everybody. And then, for clarification, is there any comment from the public on this? Okay. We then have to look at the candidate, unless somebody on this board would like to be on LAFCO and wants to be nominated, that would be a whole different issue.
That's what we're doing tonight.
Okay, so is there anybody on this board that would like to be on the LAFCO board?
My plate is already full, thank you.
Okay, then that takes care of that part of the problem.
Okay.
And then what will happen is we'll get a slate of candidates that are to be voted on, and the board will direct then the representative to vote for the person that they want to have represent the community service districts on at large, correct?
Special district.
Special district, excuse me, at large, some point in time.
That's correct.
Okay, so is there a motion to move forward with
what you said? President, Vice President, or the representatives?
Yes.
President,
primary,
alternate,
Vice President,
and there is no nomination of a candidate from this board.
Okay. It's a motion.
That's in the form of a motion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay. We are, there are no informational items. Director's report, I just wanted to, I should have done this at the beginning of the meeting, and I didn't, but I apologize. I'm going to pass these down for you guys to look at. I asked Rod to put together a cheat sheet. I was using it tonight on how the meeting should run. So if you guys could just take one and put it in your file or something if you want to, on how the meetings will be run, proper protocol parliamentarian wise for running the meetings. And I will, and I just saw, and this is the cheat sheet I'm going to be using while I'm president to run the meetings. So I just want to give you guys a copy of that. Standing committee reports. Well, we kind of heard what the Water Wastewater Committee report was tonight. Did you have anyone to add to that, Bill?
No.
We really discussed in depth that Stantec contract, and that's kind of where we are right now.
Yeah, and just so the board is comfortable, I know that we are looking at a single vendor on this, but we did ask, and Bernie participated, we asked him to check into Veolia to see what's the average cost of NIMS. And we found out, yeah, you could do the $50,000 one, you could do the $2 million one, depending on what you want. And the information that we got back, and the numbers that we got back, I felt comfortable, Kevin felt comfortable.
I agree.
Sanitec, we've worked with them before. They're a reputable company. We need to get this thing going. They would be able to do it faster than anybody else, and I don't think we'd save much money. I'm very pleased that he's left the room now, that we were able to get the interactive part included and still stay under our budget, and I think they'll come back with training that's acceptable, et cetera. So I'm looking forward to being able to approve this project, hopefully with the...
Absolutely, and I'm excited about getting it in the hands of our contractor and our staff so that it can be used in the proper way, and we feel more comfortable about everybody having the knowledge they need to do from manuals and everything else. So it was a good meeting. Any other standing committee meetings that anyone wants to report on?
This afternoon we had our park and recreation subcommittee meeting. We discussed the swimming pools in need of some repairs, significant repairs, so we're going over those repair plans right now. Director Pease, we have worked on one other item we had to bring up.
Well, that was probably come up in the manager's report. We ought to do that now.
The manager's report's next on the agenda. Do you guys have something you would like to bring forward?
We segue right in. Regional meeting. So,
wait, before you go, let's.
I'm presuming that's under other.
Regional meetings, other reportable items.
I had two that I went to, ECCFPD, nothing big to report other than what Chief Ross, I can say Ross a little easier, Chief, had mentioned, but they did the ceremonial handoff, so it went from Joel Bryant as president to Brian Oftedal, and then Joy Benson is now the vice president. Smooth transition, it was nice. P6 meeting I went to, it was held in the, and I know our staff went with us, and so did the president. So I'll just add the one piece that I felt was a long drawn out meeting, a fairly good crowd, but they voted for license plate readers for the town.
Good news.
Not to exceed $350,000, and I think each camera's about $14,000, but it takes more than one camera for a setup, so. $350,000 will go pretty quick, but at least it's been approved at that point. More work to be done.
I think that's great news for the community.
Anything else to add? Okay. That's all.
Okay, thank you for that. And now on to management report. And since you're already standing there.
Since I'm already here, great, thanks. So at today's Park and Recreation Subcommittee meeting, Director Pease and Director Still had asked if I would basically invite the other three board members if you're interested. If you recall, in November, we approved entering into a contract with Greenplay LLC to do kind of a two-part master plan process with the Recreation Department, figuring out funding and all those kinds of things. The contracts have been signed. We are looking at a tentative date of Wednesday, February 21st. We were going to program at the same time when we had the standing committee meeting at 3:30. So we thought perhaps if the three of you were interested in participating in that, since especially we are looking at funding and funding recreation and parks in Discovery Bay. If you had any interest in being part of that process, and if that date would work for you, so and the time. So the time was 3:30, which is what we were originally looking at on February 21st.
Council's their problem with having all five of us.
Our thought was to use it and call it a board workshop.
Yeah,
I was going to say
the meeting.
It'll be agendized as a special
meeting for the board of directors.
And there'll be one item on it, workshop.
Okay. How does that work? I only have one calendar.
Now, this particular one is going to be a conference call workshop. So assuming we figure out the backbone and all that sort of stuff, we'll have it here at the community center. But we could move the time. We've just got it tentatively on the books at 3:30, but if we wanted to move it, there is some homework that kind of goes with that too. So if you were interested, about 10 days beforehand, we're going to get information from Greenplay that will help you kind of start putting some parts and pieces together. So when we do meet for the phone or the conference phone call, that you'll already have done your prep. You'll help us go through that. It could be, you know, a short phone call, maybe 45 minutes. It could be a couple hours. We don't know. It just depends on after you've done your homework and we get back together how long it goes. So there was some thought perhaps if it got moved, if there's interest, 5 o'clock, we could assume maybe we're done within an hour.
We were looking more like 4:30.
Or 4:30.
Because it's preceding a board meeting.
Correct.
We also want to consider staff's time too.
Right. So any, first of all, I guess, interest from remaining directors to participate, all three of you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and then a time on that date, does that date work for you since we're going to all be here for
staff recommendation of 4:30 works for me. Is anybody out there wanting
any time?
So 4:30 and all five of you?
Okay, so do we need a motion? Okay, so we're just requesting a special board meeting for that specific period. So staff will agendize that and get it out as a special meeting.
What we'll do is we'll cancel the regular Park and Rec meeting that it was going to be held on, and then in its place at 4:30 will be the special board workshop meeting.
Great.
Park and Rec workshop.
Okay.
No. It'll actually be a board meeting.
Special
board meeting. One agendized item is the workshop.
Right.
And he indicated that it's a teleconference, but I just clarified the presenter will be presenting by telephone. You will all be present. Okay.
Okay. Anything?
Thank you.
Anything else?
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian, do you have a report to give tonight?
Not yet.
Not yet. We're not going to be here that much longer, pal.
Not tonight.
Okay. Virgil, anything?
I'm good.
Okay. Any other Madina? Any manager reports? Okay. General manager report.
Okay. This is going to be interesting. So on January 10th, I attended a meeting posted by Supervisor Burgess. I wish Leah was here to back me on this. It was kind of a complicated meeting, but what it was on was adapting to rising tides. This is a project that is now starting in East Contra Costa County. The project, which extends from Pittsburgh to Clifton Forbay and includes Discovery Bay, studies the effects of rising tides on our shorelines caused by climate change. The study will involve a combination of scientific and probability modeling and predictive mapping of shoreline flooding at various rising tide levels. The study will identify vulnerabilities and risks from rising tides and then transition into an adaptation phase. This project involves community stakeholders, and I'll keep the board informed. Who's doing this? This is a program of the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission. So, more to come.
It's BCDC, it'll be forever.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else from you, sir?
No.
Thank you for that report. Councilman, anything you'd like to say?
Nothing for me, thank you.
Okay, we have the listed correspondence. Any future agenda items that anybody has on their mind at this point?
As we come into the new year, I would like to get an update, whether it be from you, from the staff, or the organization on the grant progress. I know we voted that in. I've heard very little about it. I'd like an update.
I can give you an update now, I believe. And that update would be that we've explored a couple of grants, and they just have not, so they've not worked out.
They
haven't
fit
right into what we're doing. So I don't believe it's cost us any money so far, but we still have them in the background if we decide to, that something will fit.
Okay. Any other comments from the board for the good of the cause? Being adjourned.